What's up, heretics? It's the Religion of Speed podcast, the show for car nerds by car nerds. I am Matt Overstreet.
I am Chris Hoffman.
And I'm Hamza Pechenkovic. Oh, you get my last name? I know.
You threw in the last name this time. Nobody else is going to be able to do that again, but yeah, good luck with that one. All right. Well, it is officially, it's not officially winter yet, is it? When was the first official day of winter? When
the first official day of winter is usually right around.
I thought it was December 22nd.
Oh, is it?
Winter solstice.
Well, anyways, the point was we had our first official big snow.
The shop heater kicks on. It's winter.
Yeah, it's getting cold, and we had our first official like decent snow here in Denver, and of course that means 100 vehicle pileup on US 6 going into downtown.
That is ridiculous.
100 freaking cars. Yeah, apparently, because this is the bridge that goes over I-25 and into downtown.
It must have gotten super icy.
Yeah, there were people saying, like, even the rescue crews and stuff that were there to, like, get cars and people were, like, falling down and sliding around, and, like, it was just a complete ice rink out there.
Can you imagine being in the middle of that? It's like, all you want to do is just get out of your car and get off that highway, but that's, like, the most dangerous thing you can possibly do.
Right.
Yeah, and then the amount of time that it's going to take for them to get to your car. I mean, I can't imagine how long was the highway shut down?
I don't know if it says in here how long it was shut down. They did take all the cars to Empower Field, and owners had till 1 p.m. to claim the cars.
Wow.
Which was very interesting. So they were just like, listen, we're just going to take all these cars, put them over here. You come get them later, go to work, go do your thing. Because this happened pretty early in the morning.
Was there a game? 1 p.m. seems really strict after that.
Right.
Like, oh, I was in the hospital. Can I get, like, an extension? Can I get a late checkout?
No.
As far as I know, nobody really got hurt. I mean, I'm sure there were some minor injuries, but it doesn't say. So it was about 6:20 a.m. when it started, and that's when the police responded. It doesn't really say how long it took them to clean it up, though, because I'm sure it took a minute.
I love that this article says NASCAR makes NASCAR wrecks look like child's play.
6 a.m. seems super early for like I think the people drive on the road all the time. It's just
100 cars.
Yeah, it's 6 a.m. Yeah.
Jesus, who are these? You know,
where are you guys working? Starbucks, I guess.
Too many people are rising and grinding.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Who are these early morning people? Just like, oh, let's go to work at 6 a.m. I mean, I'm not too far behind that. I leave at 7, I guess, but still. Couldn't do any earlier than that.
Right? Yeah.
I leave the house around 8:30.
Shut up.
That's about what time I leave the house.
Saunter in the office, then I walk across the street, go get my coffee. That takes about 20 minutes. About 10 a.m. is when I'm really starting to get to work.
I've done spark plugs and brake flush and, you know, some struts by then.
And by work, I mean I'm just sitting there talking the other guy in the office.
I've usually had my first argument with HMA by 10 a.m.
Oh, so the point is, get into art. Don't become a mechanic. And also, just get some snow tires, people. Although I don't know if that would have made that big of a difference, this sheet of ice. You know, but just understand, like, hey, it snowed and rained the night before. It is freezing out.
Yeah, it was 30.
It's a bridge. Yeah. Like, people don't understand that bridges, because, like, you know, the ground here, if you're just on ground, it retains heat for a long time. So it can melt snow, and it won't, even if it's below freezing air temperature, it won't freeze on the road right away. But a bridge, it doesn't have anything underneath it to insulate, so it's going to freeze instantly.
And here in Colorado, where we've got no moisture in the air just gets cold at night, even in the summer.
It really does, yeah. It's been cooling off a lot. Like, even the days right now have been fairly nice, really good turbocharged car weather.
Yeah.
But then, at night, it's like, ooh, it is getting cold again. So be careful. There's lots of idiots out there. We could probably make some sort of comment about Texans and Californians, you know.
But I think, feels so played out at this
point. I don't know. I think Facebook has covered that.
I guess you're used to driving in the snow because of Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
You're probably not that used to driving in the snow.
Where I'm from, if there was enough snow to make a footprint, then everything shuts down. You can't find milk or bread at any grocery store. Everybody treats it like the apocalypse, and they all talk about there was one blizzard in my hometown in 1993, And people still talk about it every time there's a snow forecast.
Do you remember the blizzard of 1993?
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's going to be like the blizzard of 93. People are going to freeze to death. It's like, no, that's not what's going to happen.
Do you do like houses not have heaters?
Or... I guess some of them don't. Most of them do,
I guess,
though.
That's like in Seattle where like they had the heat waves and a bunch of people didn't have AC.
Right. Right.
Man, that's wild.
It just doesn't get that cold. And I mean, the humidity makes it feel colder. Like, mm-hmm. It can be 20 degrees warmer there and feel worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for because sure. of the humidity.
Yeah, that was the thing about Michigan. Which is... like, it was just, like, super frigid. Like, if you went outside and the wind was blowing, it was like icicles. Just,
right.
Yeah, it was
It's
terrible.
Like your skin freezes off.
Yeah.
Colorado's weird because it's dry. So you get dry cold and dry heat. But dry heat still sucks. I love when people say, it's dry heat. You're like, ovens are dry.
It's still hot, yeah. And it's still cold, but
still cold.
Yeah,
hot and cold still
say.
Exist.
Yes,
but yeah, I'll take the dry heat over 100% humidity any day. That's just horrific.
It's like 70 degrees and 100% humidity, and you're like, I hate my life.
You're right. I'm
your
I'm,
car hates its life.
Yeah, your car barely wants to run. Can't make it up hills.
Right. Well, I remember like if you're in Michigan, you go to do an oil change, you take the cap off, the oil cap. Like there's a bunch of like water. Oily crap on the underside of the cap.
Condensation.
Yeah, condensation. And that's just like, that's normal because it's, it's breathing in moist air.
Wow.
Getting into the crankcase, that moisture gets into the crankcase, into the oil, and
it has to condense somewhere.
Yeah, I wonder what like the engineering tolerance is for that. Like when they're like working on an engine and they're like, well, this engine can eat about this much water.
Yeah. I'm sure it has more something to do with the oil specifications. I'm sure they have to have some sort of additive that can deal with moisture and kind of encapsulate it or keep it from, destroying bearings and stuff like that.
So you think oil, like even like bulk oil maybe is different, a little bit different?
No, I'm sure it's all the same. But just like when they're making their oil, they take into account that this will be used in places with high moisture content and it has to be able to deal with that.
That's interesting. Because I know sometimes they don't take humidity into account, like with the Takata airbag recall. Like, the humidity related? Helped degrade those airbags faster.
What?
So in southern states, there were more issues with those airbags than, like here.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Just something to do with, the material of the... The airbag itself?
Yeah, I think it was...
Like a conspiracy to kill some civilians. But,
I want to say that Mitsubishi wiring recall, where that could have started a fire, was exacerbated by humidity, too.
Yeah, I could see that. And, I mean, humidity, is going to cause more corrosion, in theory, so...
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about those differences, how they affect us so much.
I got to tell you this. Like, I've been to Florida multiple times now since I've been to... since I've lived in Colorado, and the main reason I hate Florida is just because it's so freaking humid. I can't, I just sit there and I just feel gross.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't touch me. Everything's gross.
You want to take like 3 showers a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even then you just, I remember when we were at WorldPAC conference this last year, we went and used the pool, and we went and hung up our towels in the bathroom, and the next day they were still wet. And I'm like, what is happening?
That was one of my favorite things moving here from Tennessee. I don't even clean up water when I spill it anymore.
Right?
I'm like, the air's dry. That's just going to evaporate.
All right, we're watching it in real time.
We are quickly getting into old men complaining about the weather territory here on this podcast. So let's move on.
It's old men.
Yeah. Let's move on. Actually, this is kind of has something to do with moisture because it's a hydrogen fuel cell vehicle which produces water. These little autonomous... trailer drones from Hyundai. What do they call that? The e-boogie.
It's the coolest name.
Yeah.
E-boogie.
E-bogie?
I don't know. Yeah. So I love it because it's not electric. And not that I hate electric. I just love that it's like, here's this robot thing. And like, it should totally be powered by an electric battery, but it's like a hydrogen fuel cell thing.
Well, it is. I mean, it is electric. If it's this hydrogen fuel cell.
Oh, I guess.
It's using the hydrogen to create electricity.
Yeah, gotcha.
This isn't the other Hyundai internal combustion hydrogen engine.
Good point.
But it works kind of like the concept is like a plug-in hybrid.
Yeah, kind of. Like it you put hydrogen in it and it uses an onboard generator to take that hydrogen, make electricity to feed to the electric motor, which is somehow more efficient.
For trucking across the country, I could definitely see that working better.
Yeah, exactly, because you can refill a lot faster. Yeah.
And I really love the idea of how versatile it is, too. And so this is specific. This has nothing to do with racing or cool car stuff, but it's really fascinating for getting, for logistics, getting things across the country. And not only that, but like also inside of ports. So like one of these guys can hold a container on top of it and just ship it around the port or, you know, wherever your kind of landing area is. And then two of them come together and put a big like semi trailer on top of it. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, but Hyundai actually makes most of the semi truck trailers in the world. Like, so if you're ever just driving around and you see Hyundai on the back of a trailer, they're not advertising, they made that.
Yeah.
And it's like so it's fascinating that they're kind of cornering that market.
Yeah.
Like they've already cornered that market in some ways, and they're kind of like, okay, how do we build on top of that? And I'm not trying to put a bunch of truck drivers out of business, but I think this is super cool, and I would just love to see, like, you know, thousands of these on the highways. Right. Like,
it'll make the highways better and safer for regular drivers.
Yeah, and I think, and I don't want to dog on truck drivers because I don't know what the statistics are, or like the context of how many crashes we see with, you know, semi-truck drivers. But one of the things that I loved about driving in Europe is the semis have to stay in the right lane. There's no, like, you have no option. You have to, and this might be dependent on country, but in Italy and Croatia and a lot of the areas kind of in southern Europe, that was the case. And here you, like, I mean, I don't know. I'll drive south on I-25 into Denver, and there'll just be like giant, like, rows of semis in the left lane. And I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, why?
Yeah, why are you here?
What are you doing here?
There's no reason.
Yeah.
And I realized that I-25 is this massive, like, vein for transportation. I mean, it goes from Texas all the way up, right?
Yeah, but even if they just use the right two lanes, like, why are you in the left lane right now?
It's holding up traffic. It's infuriating.
I think it's a thing, and it's got to be a thing in Germany where they can use any lane, because there is a German term that I couldn't say the actual German name, but it pretty much translates to turtle race for when two semi-trucks are next to each other and you're just like, fuck.
Everybody's in the back trying to pick a winner.
Yeah.
Like, which lane do I need to be in?
Well, and then in Europe, most highways only have two lanes. Like, it's not like here or you've got, in some cases, with 13 lanes in Texas, I think there's a couple.
Just another lane, bro. Just add another lane. Give me another lane, bro. That's all I need.
Dude, when I drove in Houston, I just wanted to swerve all over the highway just because I could. Yeah. It was like a giant asphalt playground.
Right?
It's ridiculous.
Was it Top Gear that... it was some... They went to some country, and it was like some giant highway system they built into this capital city. That, like, nobody lives in.
Was it China? It was probably China.
It was probably China.
It was definitely China.
Yeah.
I think I remember this.
It was like a
12-lane
highway with, like, three cars on it.
Yeah, I remember
that would
this
be
episode.
So much fun.
Right?
Yeah. Like, well, I'm just going to rip the handbrake at 120 miles an hour.
In the
why
last
not?
10 years, China has poured more concrete on highways than we have literally in the last 100.
Wow.
Christ. Or maybe 50 or something, but it looked... Anyway, the amount of concrete that they poured to build their highway system is insane.
Well, they've got to accommodate the Tundars.
Callback.
Oh, great callback to the last episode. Anyway, so speaking of traffic, so think about how much this will mitigate traffic issues, right? And then not only that, but like the way that these maneuver... I mean, sorry, I'm kind of taking this over, but I thought it was so cool because of the way they maneuver is the front piece and the back drone kind of front and back drones work independently of each other or together, and they can the wheels are also independent, so they can do the kind of crab walk turn, which would be crazy to see this giant like. Semi-truck thing just...
This is some, like, cyberpunk movie stuff, but I should describe what we're looking at here for the audio listeners. Imagine a semi-trailer, but where the rear axle of the truck would go to hook up to it is just a drone, basically, that just fits under there. So you don't have a semi-truck in front of the trailer. And then on the back of the trailer, you got another kind of hookup with another drone back there. Then they can both swivel independently. But I could just see like a sci-fi movie of this thing like going sideways down the road to like block traffic, like somebody's hacking it or something.
Yeah, iRobot. This literally happened, and
iRobot. Oh, right, right. Yeah, you're right. It's been a long time since that.
That's an old movie at this point.
No, but yeah, I mean, think about how many times you've been like at an intersection in front of a shopping center and had to make room so a semi truck could cut into every lane so right, it could pull through a tight space to back into especially like Best Buy or something.
On the East Coast for the older cities. Yeah.
And those highways aren't very well maintained and it's really easy to like, oh, well, I just have to move out of its way even though it's in my lane because it has no other choice. If it could drive sideways, it could literally maneuver however it needed to.
Right. Although for right now, I can see autonomous stuff taking over on the highway here in the next like 10 years. I don't see it taking over in any sort of like small downtown area for a long time. There's just so much weird shit to deal with.
There's a lot. There's a lot of traffic. There's a lot of people. But it would be cool to see this in San Francisco if they team up with Google and use their their mapping technology.
Yeah, there's those. They're testing like the self-driving stuff in San Francisco because of that reason. Because it's such a weird city, and there's like, I mean, I know like I'm going on like a slight incline, and my rear view camera is like, hey, you have a issue with, you know, there's something behind you, and I like look behind me, and there's just a hill, you know, and I'm like, yeah, there's nothing behind me. You're just like, your radar is bouncing off the cement, right?
Oh, is this in the Armada?
I mean, even in the Armada isn't that, it doesn't have,
like auto braking or anything?
Yeah, my, the Golf does though.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, so it's got front, brake assist, which is terrifying because sometimes it'll just go off randomly.
a leaf blew in front
like,
of the sensor.
So the sensor is in the logo, in the VW logo, like on the grill.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. It's just like, I'll be driving and it doesn't apply the brakes, or it has once, but hasn't since then. But what happens is you get this like red blinking light in the dash, like in the, so you have the, like the two, the odometer and the tach. In the middle, there's like a little rectangle thing. And that thing just blinks like crazy red. And it's like, you know, caution, something's in front of you. And I'm like, there's nothing. Like, we're good.
It's just enough to freak you out. Like, you're driving along. You're like, oh, fuck. Oh, what?
And sometimes the rear will go off too. And I'll just say like, oh, you know, check rear traffic or whatever. And I'm just like sitting there and there's nothing. Like, okay.
The Jeep ones are pretty bad because I'm like, there's the regular Cherokees, the newer ones, so they have the brake assist where you're backing up. If you go from a dark garage to like outside, it'll be like, whoa, what's going on? And just like slam on the brakes.
Jeez.
You're like, oh my God, this stop.
I'm just imagining going through the tunnels on 70. You come out.
Yeah. Oh God. And then we're getting another 100 car pileup. Maybe that's how that started.
It was one lone gladiator that started it.
All right, so we're going to move on to some sad news. As Hamza put it earlier, the party is over.
Best joke I've ever made.
Yes, you were completely original, too. And I don't think anybody else made that joke.
No one's ever thought of that. I'm so proud of it.
To explain, the Ford Fiesta is going to be officially dead given next year. And of course, it's been dead here in America for a while, but this is in the UK, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they loved it in the UK.
Yeah, because like here we got a picture of a first-gen Fiesta, which who knows when that was made. I don't know. I don't keep up with
that. 2013?
No, I mean first-gen Fiesta. Like,
oh, whoa, 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 whoa. The, like the original, yeah. Like old-school.
Yeah, I don't know when they started making those officially. But,
sorry.
according to BBC, Ford has sold some 20 million units worldwide in its 47-year, seven-generation lifespan.
Wow. There's just 20 million Fiestas out there.
Yeah.
That's a big party.
And a ton of them are in Mexico, surprisingly. Like, it's just so weird. That
doesn't surprise me at all. It's come on. It's
the Fiesta. Yeah. But I don't know. It's just weird. Like,
they were still building the Beetle in Mexico until, like, really recently, right? Didn't they stop that, like, 5 years ago?
Yeah, something like that. That's like in Brazil, too. They had, like, water-cooled Volkswagen vans in Brazil.
Wow. Yeah. Like, the rear-engine vans.
Yeah, but they were updated and water-cooled and shit.
Wow.
Yeah, they were making those until recently. The rest of the world gets cool cars because they don't have to worry about safety standards.
But to say, I want to say Avanti manufactured in Mexico for a while, too.
Avanti?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah.
Well, I think North America's like biggest Volkswagen manufacturing is in Mexico.
Yeah.
Like that's where the GTI comes from. I think all they do is they ship the trans and the engine from Germany.
Okay.
And then they build the rest of the car in Mexico.
I know they build the Passats in Chattanooga now.
Yeah, they have. Yep, the Chattanooga is the next, I think, biggest plant too. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I like somebody might have to fact check me on that, but I know like all the that's the joke on the GTI forums. It's made in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's a German car made in Mexico.
I mean, my Fiesta is a German car made in Mexico
with an American badge.
Yeah. Because, the ones in Europe are made in Germany, but for whatever reason, they're like, nah, the Fiesta's being made in Mexico. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense because they don't have to pay the shipping, you know?
Right, yeah. It's a lot easier to ship it.
I wonder if they ship them by rail or by, I think it's by rail,
if you go
right?
down Santa Fe there, south of Denver, there's a rail yard that ships in cars.
Ah, sweet.
There'll be a shit ton of brand new cars coming off the rails there.
Speaking of rail, did you guys see the video of the cop car? Where they arrested the lady
put
her in the cop car and it got hit by a train. Yep. And this was up in Platteville.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Which is not too far from where we are.
Right.
Yeah, I did not follow that part.
Yeah,
of that
I think it was actually in Weld County.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's wild.
Because, trains just kind of come out of nowhere. You never know where those rascally things are going to be.
Right. Like, it was just compounded incompetence. It's like, okay, so you parked your car on the tracks. Okay, fine, emergency situation. You left your car on the tracks. That's where we step into incompetence. You put a suspect in the car that was on the tracks. Third level of incompetence.
And then walked away.
And walked away to go clear this car that didn't have anybody in it.
Yeah, just... What? You're on train tracks.
Right, you parked on train tracks. Like, even if they hadn't arrested anybody, even if nobody had been in the car...
Right, that's still incompetent.
That would have been a massive fuck-up.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, I can't with people.
Like, yeah.
Trains are only in one place.
There's only one place you have to avoid.
It's not that difficult. If you get hit by a train, it's entirely your fault.
I never saw it coming. Nobody could have predicted this. And you know somebody said that in a police report somewhere.
Oh, totally. Oh, man, I would love to see that police report.
Oh, they were, like, very careful with their wording. Yeah. They're like, how can we spin this?
Well, I mean, I just love that we're in a time where body camera footage came out. Like, before they even released the officer's name,
right?
You could see the body camera footage.
That is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Do you think they'd delete that shit right away?
Right, yeah. They hadn't even released the officer's name, but then you could go on the Fort Lupton website and go, and there's the woman with the sleeve tattoo.
So did the person in the car, like,
she survived?
She was badly hurt, right?
Like, I think like 9 ribs broken or something like that.
Yeah.
And it took a couple of weeks for her to start walking again.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And we're not trying to make light of your situation.
Why was she being arrested?
It was a road rage situation. Apparently she did. I mean, this is all alleged.
Yeah.
They did find a gun in the glove box, but this is America. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I have a gun console. In my glove box right now.
Right? Yeah, that's not a criminal thing.
Right. So they said she was brandishing a gun in a road rage incident.
Yeah, well, that's a criminal thing.
Right, okay. That is a criminal thing.
You can have the gun, but you can't wave it around.
You can't just wave it around and threaten people.
I mean, that's why I don't carry a gun in my car, because there's so many times I just be like, you motherfucker.
Yeah, well, in Tennessee, I used to keep a gun in my car. I moved here, I feel safe enough, and the law says I have to choose between having weed in the car or gun in the car.
Fun fact, some GTIs came with a little cubby underneath the seat where you could fit a Glock.
Really?
Yes, it's actually really common to get photos of that in the GTI groups. They're like, what did you put in your secret cubby today? It's always a Glock. It's always a Glock, yeah.
And it makes sense. I mean, the Glocks are made in Austria, or where the brand is Austrian.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So weird how many gun companies are European, and we're always like, guns, America, but they're all coming, like...
Listen, the Europeans were killing each other before America was even founded.
Fair.
Well, so, correct. No, I know.
With guns.
I mean, I love Czech guns. The CZ handguns are some of my favorite. They're really excellent to shoot.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very interesting. I interviewed somebody for a position that works at CZ to replace... Sorry, this is unrelated.
This is inside baseball stuff.
But one of the designers from CZ, actually, I think she's the only one.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Hopefully nobody over there listens to this podcast. Sorry, Elise.
I was like, hey, so we heard.
The one of our 70 listeners.
It just happens to work for CZ. That'd be the way the world works.
Hey, if we can get a scandal, that'll boost our numbers.
Right, there you go.
That's true.
Real quick, before we move on from the Fiesta thing, I'm sad about it, of course, just because I really love
it. We're very sad about the Fiesta.
Yeah. I mean, but I kind of already grieved it because I knew it was leaving America. I don't care what Europe does because we don't get those cars. But I do like how Ford of America, Ford.com, has a page on their website that just says, thanks, Fiesta drivers. It's been a great ride. We're proud of the legacy we built with the Ford Fiesta in America, because you only had one generation of that.
Oh, they just cashed in on the European and also, legacy.
Yeah, and also most of those had the crappy DTC or dual-clutch transmission in it, which failed constantly. Not a great reputation. The ST was the only good Fiesta. But yeah, they're like, while its production is ending, there's still models for purchase. But could we interest you in a EcoSport or an Escape?
Two of their worst models.
It's like, no.
It's like, it's still a hatchback that's kind of small. No.
No, it's not.
Plug a Maverick. That would be a good recommendation.
You know, I'm curious what they're going to do with the name, though, because I feel like a Fiesta would be a great, like, economic entry-level electric car that they could be like, we're doing this, it, you know, it's got... It's a city car, right? It's got 150-mile range or something like that, something low, you know, depending on battery technology at the point when they introduce this. But I think it'd be great to be like, here's the – we brought the Fiesta back. It's a zippy little city electric car.
Just
yeah.
for commuting. Yeah.
They're going to bring it back
Fiesta
as
Mach-E.
Like a
– Oh, Mach-E.
No, I'm going to
render that. Making a render of that.
And then you post it, and then it's news.
Oh, man, another callback.
Yeah. Fucking nailing
You're
it today.
Killing it.
Renders are not news. Hashtag renders are not news. No, I can see him bringing back the Fiesta, but it will be more crossover E. It'll kind of be like a...
Like the, when they brought back the Eclipse Mitsubishi.
Yeah.
I saw one of those and made me so sad the other day.
More like the new.
That's
the
really
new Focus.
Surprising because I've never seen one.
Oh, you haven't?
No, I don't think I have.
You don't see that many. They probably didn't sell that
it's
many.
Mitsubishi. They don't sell cars.
Most of them went to Enterprise for rental cars. That's where 90% of their sales
just
were.
Cheap fleet like, cars.
Yep.
And it's funny because they probably won't even make it to the end of the fleet life to go wholesale after that.
Yeah, probably not. Nobody's going to want an Eclipse cross.
Like you're more likely to see a Mitsubishi like air conditioner than you are a car these days.
Yeah. They make projectors and air conditioners.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the Mitsubishi Zaibatsu is just like, cars are just like, they just dabbled.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, let's go win rally real quick. You know? Ah, yeah. We're done with that. Yeah. We're going to keep making TVs.
Rice cookers.
Rice cookers.
Oh my gosh, that is not, that sounds so racist. I didn't
even. So we're going to cut the, we're gonna have to post a picture of a Mitsubishi rice cooker. So
that, do they even make rice
cookers? They do. They have to.
Yeah. They make everything.
Oh no.
Mitsubishi made the planes that crashed into us at Pearl Harbor, so we can make fun of them all we want.
Oh. I love
this is what
that
happens
justification.
When that's a worse justification.
It's like BMW made the Luftwaffe plane, so we could just make fun of them all we want. Oh,
they're still using the fucking propeller as their logo. God. Like, these things are just all over America.
Leaking oil all over America.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, speaking of leaking oil, I think this technology is just going to lead to leaking oil because I don't think it's ever going to actually pan out. First ever two-piece connecting rod is an intriguing piece of tech shown on display at SEMA this past week when we're recording. So yeah, this video just went away, so we can't see the picture. That's cool. Thank you, Rodentrack. That's brilliant. But you have your standard connecting rod and then a little connecting rod in between it that goes to your piston. So you have two piston pins, basically.
Okay.
The idea is it keeps the side load forces off of the piston and puts them onto this little secondary connecting rod, which makes sense. There is a lot of side loads on those pistons when they're going up and down. But we kind of figured out how to take care of that just with piston technology and coatings and stuff like that. And this is one of those things where it's a neat idea, but I don't think it'll ever scale just because you're adding complexity and more points of failure and stuff like that. So I think it's just one of those things that you see on the internet every once in a while. Somebody comes out with a new engine design or new valve design or something. And it's like, it's just not practical to put it into production.
Because at this point, internal combustion engines are on the way out.
Well, that's what I love about this article is it was like, internal combustion engines are on the way out, but technology still seems to keep moving forward. And I was like, just stop.
It's like, it's okay. Like, we did great. We made great internal combustion engines for decades, for centuries.
So there's the video of it. And you see the blue part is kind of their secondary connecting rod.
Oh.
What I want to know is how that will affect, like, rod ratios, though. They say it has more dwell time at the top. So
yeah,
you want more. How does that go? You want longest connecting rod you can possibly do, because as it rotates around, like a piston comes up and it rotates around the connecting rod.
Around the crankshaft.
Jesus Christ, I can't talk today. As it's at the top, you want it to stay there as long as you can to like help compression.
Okay.
So in theory, longer rods, more dwell time up top, more horsepower. It's kind of been proven. It's very little difference.
But you could increase the compression ratio of the engine theoretically using this technology.
Theoretically. It gives you more dwell time, and with modern controls, you know, I mean, what, the Mazda Sky Active engines are running like 14-to-1 compression ratio off 87 octane.
Wow.
With like modern technology and computer controls.
Yeah, but that's – so correct me if I'm wrong, but that's really only valid for naturally aspirated engines, right? Because if you're running such high compression and you dump compressed air into it, you're kind of fucking it up, right?
Yeah, they're definitely working – the higher static compression you can get, the better emissions and gas mileage you get out of the car. So they're trying to bump compression as much as they can get away with, but also – turbocharger technologies
kind of
help you downsize the engine for cruising and use less fuel. So they're kind of working on both at the same time.
So this is a technology to appease the EPA.
Could be, yeah.
Because every manufacturer has increased regulation that they have to meet for the EPA every single year.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and if you can get away with just like tiny improvements,
You know,
that adds up over your fleet.
And they've already kind of replaced all the steel with aluminum or plastic. They've saved weight. They've gone to lower rolling resistance tires. They've done all the kind of cheap ways that they can do that.
But, I mean, I saw a post the other day that was kind of making fun of the electric car industry. It's like, electric cars are here to save the industry, not to save the planet. And I think that's really a good indicator of, like, the internal combustion engine is going away just because it has to appease, like, you know, the governments and to allow these companies to keep making cars.
Right.
You know, is it going to make a difference in the long run of like climate change and stuff? Yes, no, maybe, you know,
we're going to run out of lithium.
15 to 17. Yeah, I was going to say it's a 15 to 17% car, right? Cars at 15 to 17% of emissions.
Yeah.
That's not even a quarter.
Right. Yeah.
So how are we going to take care of the rest of it?
It's, you know, it's something.
No, I agree.
You know,
yeah.
But it's not like, meanwhile, like India and China have added have quadrupled their coal power plants in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
It's like, while we're decommissioning them, but it's like, well, we can't.
Right. We're all on the same planet.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, my point is I don't think this technology is going to save the internal combustion engine at all. I don't think we're going to see it in production. But it is cool. I always love to see people coming up with new ways to do internal combustion, because it seems like there's a lot of different ways to do it.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of weird engine designs.
Yeah, I mean, this exists in the same world as the rotary engine.
Right? Yeah. And, like, radial engines. And there was the one that all the pistons, like, moved. It was like they were in a circle and they all faced one direction. It looked like a freaking revolver.
Wow. Oh,
yeah. And I've had like this wobble plate in it where, weird shit.
Yeah, that's super weird.
Yeah. What's also weird is we're getting another racetrack in America.
And this is right near where I used to live.
Right?
Right near Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah, they did you dirty, man. You moved away and they're building a new racetrack.
Yeah, they supposedly built a drift track.
Now you have to do
Bristol.
Autocross at PPIR.
I have to wake up and make the AM sessions.
You
now
could have been partying with this animated party group that got going, like had some sort of like concert going with a bunch of poorly animated PlayStation 2 people.
Yeah, it does look like PS2 graphics.
It does. But no, this is PS3.
It's funny because it's in rural Tennessee, so I expect this project to go bankrupt at least twice.
Well, the guy that started it, I was doing a little bit of reading on it, or one of the like founders, he only got into racing like 3 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And he was like, I just love it, and I'm rich, so I'm building a racetrack.
Well, I mean, that's kind of how it works, though, right? Like, a lot of the people that I know are, like, older. Not older, but, like, they're, you know, our age. But, like, they just got into racing, and it's like, I didn't know I liked this. Well, how the fuck would you? Right. Like, until you do it. Like, you don't just know you like racing. Like,
and if, yeah, it's not something – racing's not something you just, like, go out and try.
Yeah.
It takes a little bit of, like, research and, oh, is my car ready?
Yeah,
it takes resources.
To, yeah, right. And you have to have – so, I mean, at best, you discover it at 16, yeah. Right? Like –
At best, your dad's really into it and gets you into karting when you're three or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And that's how you end up being Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah, well, right, exactly. And so, like, the racing community is so small that statistically, that just probably isn't going to happen.
Right.
So, like, it makes sense. I mean, it's just a bunch of, I mean, you see it at the track, right? It's always, like, these rich dudes and they're like, yeah, I came out with my M2 BMW, realized I really like this, so I bought a GT4. Right, like, yeah. And you're just like, oh, cool, damn.
Yeah. Luckily these days we have video games to help people like be like, oh, this is awesome. How do I do this?
That's true. Gran Turismo and Forza get a lot of people into it. Even Need for Speed, as arcadey as it is.
Yeah, I mean, people just gets people into cars, you know?
Yeah.
I am kind of interested real quick, just like the fact that this is all computer generated. Like, how long until this track is on Assetto Corsa? Because there's a 3D model of it.
I was about to say, it'll be on a set of Corsa long before it exists in real life.
It might never exist in real life.
It may never exist in real life.
We should probably say the name. It's Flat Rock Motorsports Park.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a few months away, though, from completion, right? They already broke ground, and the track, like, the track layout is in the dirt. I mean, all they really have to do is pour.
Yeah, all they got to do is the expensive part of pouring concrete.
Yeah, but you...
Well, and then they have to deal with people who like to be in other people's business and don't like noise.
I didn't see this. Apply for membership. I wonder how much – does it say how much that is? I'm kind of curious. I bet you it's going to be incredibly expensive because most – that's the only thing, though. Like, a lot of these tracks are kind of like private club tracks and stuff and pretty expensive. Ooh, they definitely did their homework on the website, though. I will say that.
Yes.
It's a nice website.
You're thinking like what's that country – that race country club in New York or Jersey – Monticello.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That place looks amazing. And, like, I remember I was doing some, like, just light read. I was, like, looking at their website, and it was, like, just, you know, we have, if you want to really pay for it, there's, like, a private mechanic that works at the track that'll, like, do maintenance and take care of your Lamborghini for you while you're not here because you are living on your yacht
Yacht because you can afford to pay $100,000 a year to have a garage here.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, that would just be, like,
the dream.
Yeah.
Well, I scrolled through the whole thing. It didn't give me a price. There's an apply now, but...
There's no price. It's too expensive.
Yeah, it's well above our pay grade. But they did say they're going to... like, they're hoping to host, like, world-class racing here. Like, you know, FIA.
Great. Yeah.
Shit.
That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So if we can get another FIA-approved track here for, like, you know, endurance racing and stuff like that. I've been really into watching some endurance racing on FIA's YouTube channel. They do, like, one-hour... recaps of like the 24-hour Le Mans and like the 6-hour of Fuji Raceway and shit. Yeah, I've been enjoying watching that. And if I can go see that, that'd be a lot cheaper than going see an F1, just because not as many people are into it.
When I mean, it's not expensive to stay in Knoxville, Tennessee.
It will be now.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm hoping they do track days and stuff like that other new track that opened up. What is the name of that one in Missouri?
Ozark.
Thank you.
Raceway,
yeah.
Motorsports Park.
Yeah,
that one's closer.
Yeah,
we could honestly take a road trip to this track, and Ozark's on the way.
Well, I still think so. I still want to hit up Utah Motorsports Park or campus or whatever.
Okay,
and I think that I think we should really do an episode of that. Like, we just go down there, we do some a track day or whatever event they're doing.
Road trip track day.
It's That'd be five, fun. 6 hours away. 6 hours away, something like that.
That's not bad. Yeah. So it's just in Utah then.
Well,
yeah. Just over the border.
Salt Lake, right? Outside of that?
I think it's close to where, like on the kind of the mountain side, like over by where Flying Miata is.
In Grand Junction.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. They're in Grand Junction.
They're in Grand Junction, but that's right on the state
line. Yeah, so they're like right. We should look it up. But
I swore it was like south of Salt Lake City. Because I think we did a road trip out there, and I was like, maybe I'll just swing by real quick and like do a lap. But we had, like, the car was full of camping stuff, and I don't know if Caleb would have liked that.
Still counts. Well, either way, we should plan it. It would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. I mean, it'd be really cool if we could take a road trip down to Rosamond, because we could go through Utah, and Rosamond's where Willow Springs is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's just an hour outside L.A., so that'd be a long drive.
That'd be a long drive.
But yeah. Rosamond's a really cool town. It's got a population of like 1,000 people, and the only things there are Willow Springs and a NASA Air Force testing facility.
Oh, nice.
And there is one bar. So you go to this one bar, you get to talk to fighter pilots and engineers and race car drivers.
I will take my toddlers.
Here, learn. Yeah, no, I'd love to do like a road trip. Like hit a bunch. I want to hit more racetracks.
Yeah,
like that's we were talking with Lucas on the last episode where he's just like, I just want to go do more East Coast tracks and do these things I've only played in video games. And
yeah,
like, yeah. I want to. Like I've been on like 3 racetracks.
We need to plan an East Coast and West Coast trip.
Yes.
Yeah.
And definitely this Flat Rock Motorsports Park.
That looks awesome.
It looks amazing. Yeah. You should check out the website. I think it's just Flat Rock Motorsports. Just Google it. What am I talking about?
And I still have in-laws that I enjoy spending time with in Knoxville. So
that's surprising. Nice.
Yeah.
But there's a kart track. There's lots of elevation change to the big track. There's multiple configurations. I don't know. I think it's going to be... I'm excited.
And the terrain really lends itself to the elevation changes. It's a mountainous area. It's the Appalachians. Mm-hmm. So, but not so high up that you're getting power loss.
Right. It's not the Rockies. Like, the Rockies just wouldn't make a good racetrack. That's too much elevation. Yeah. And off the cliff into turn one.
excuse me.
So I wanted to bring this up. When we kind of first started the podcast, or when me and you started doing it.
Yeah.
I like to give people ways to get out there, like enjoy like motorsports and car shit and just like fun stuff on the cheap. And I cannot think of a cheaper way to go and have fun with some motorized vehicles than Optima Batteries, King of the Trimmers.
It was so awesome.
It's a knockoff of King of the Hammers, which is, of course, the off-road race done with lawnmowers, modified so lawnmowers. Cool.
I wonder how long the actual race is.
Right?
I don't know, man. That thing in the shop is 750cc, so we can soup that up. Crazy.
I don't see any zero turns on here. I don't think that'd make the best off-roader, honestly. It's like fixed front wheels.
Oh, yeah. You can't really tilt that thing more than 15 degrees or it rolls.
When I was growing up, my one friend, he mowed lawns. It was like high school money, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And his dad worked on lawnmowers. And the one day they had a zero turn when those things were first new. They had the deck off of it because his dad was doing something. And we were just out there doing wheelies in it constantly because there's no weight in the front. So it was like doing wheelies and spinning it around and shit.
That's awesome.
It was fun.
That sounds awesome. Did you guys almost tip it all the way over?
Nah, it just hits the engine. You can't really tip it back over. But yeah, these guys, I don't know if these guys were there, but there's a YouTube channel called OK Off-Road Mowers. And that's what they do. They build mowers to like, go off-roading, do these adventures and go these trails, go back, do some backpacking, camping shit.
I love that there's a community around that.
Right?
That is so cool.
And it's like... Because there's really not many like lawnmower racing things here. I tried looking it up because I'm like, we need to do some lawnmower racing. But there's nothing here. But off-road lawnmowers, that's pretty much just as cool.
Yeah, that's even cooler.
But I just know the series exists. And if you want to get into having fun, tinkering on stuff. I mean, there's one guy, like you can see in the one picture, built like a long travel front suspension on his lawnmower with like some Jeep shocks and shit. Like... Fuck yeah, this is the kind of redneck stuff I can get behind.
Yeah, that one looks like a four-wheeler.
Right? So check out Optima Batteries, King of the Trimmers.
That's pretty much what you're building. This is a four-wheeler. At one point, like, where does a lawnmower, like a big high-power lawnmower, just turn into a fucking... Like, you take the trimming bits off, and it's an ATV. For all intents and
I wonder, do you have to have the trimming bits on here? Do you have to have
No,
the
I think
mower?
they took it all off.
Okay.
Yeah, last thing you want to do
rules. They're like, you can't take the trimming bits off. Oh, where can they go? I don't care. You just can't take
there's
them
one,
off.
There's one strip at the end where you have to mow this grass right before the finish line.
And if you like, you lose points, the worse the trimming
the
is.
The trim, yeah. It's like all shredded. You're like, that's not good.
Like, this guy didn't bring his bag attachment. That's going to put him off the podium.
Didn't collect it. Yeah, just laying out there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we could make some rules. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
This is also really fun because Porsche is tired of people complaining about brake squeal, so it made this video. This has been a thing for a while of Porsche owners complaining that their carbon ceramic brakes or their racing brakes on their GT3 squeal when they come to a stop.
Because they bought carbon ceramic brakes.
A racing car. Sir, we built this car for you to take it to the track. Yeah, but I want to drive it around the city. Yep.
Right. Okay. But that brake job is $7,000.
because of the freaking rotors are $2,000 a piece. But I just love that Porsche was like, listen, these are racing brakes. They're going to make noise. Get over it. They didn't try to fix the problem. No. They didn't like.
They're trying to fix their customers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's.
It's ballsy.
Yeah.
It is, but it's Porsche, so they'll get away with it.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of car reviewers, they say go with the steel rotors if you're not going to track it because saves you that much money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's not that much better. Like the carbon ceramics are not, unless you're doing actual endurance racing, they're not that much better than just steel rotors with good brake pads.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If
for all you out there running slotted and drilled two-piece rotors.
Weren't you going to try to put Porsche rotors on your GTI?
Yes. Okay. But it was...
That's old school, direct.
It's not the rotor... Yeah. I think so. It wasn't necessarily the rotors. It was the calipers. I mean, I wasn't going to... I laughed and joked about it, but there's like a... I think it's a 6 or 8 pot caliper, like a direct fit from a Porsche that you could put on the GTI. And I think there was a guy that had it at Track Attack a few seasons ago. And it was always just so funny because it's like they're so massive and that car is so small.
Yeah.
Like I even think like the big brake kits that the STI comes with is stupid. Like they're huge.
Because those are the STI was up to 8 piston before they got rid of it, wasn't it?
Six to eight. Yeah.
Yeah. 8 piston. That's a little too far for them, I think.
I thought 6 was too far.
It's true.
Yeah. So anyway, I would like to do, two piece rotors is I think where I'm going to call it.
Yeah. that's your upgrade.
Yeah. That's,
I did go with Disc Brakes Australia slotted rotors for the front of the BRZ, but that was just because I couldn't find OE anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I went with StopTech slotted rotors for the front of the Fiesta to try to take care of brake fade. It didn't work, but I tried. So
they look cool when it's stopped. You can see
them. It's just a status symbol.
Yeah, it is. They're like, oh, you got sport brakes. You're like, yep. I don't know what that means.
But. Like, I love wiping the brake dust off the red of my Brembos because then people are like, ooh, you have Brembos.
I have so much brake dust. It's ridiculous. My front wheels look like they're brown. Like, the bronze ones look like they're brown.
Yeah. That's why I got black wheels. You can't tell they're dirty.
They just look matte. I guess matte. If you're already matte. Yeah. Yeah. Mine are gloss. So I'm like, I've got shiny wheels in the back and matte wheels in the front.
All right, one last thing to talk about before we call it a day on this podcast. We couldn't possibly do a podcast about racing the world without talking about the NASCAR move.
The wall ride.
What?
The wall ride.
That was insane. This guy's straight out of Gran Turismo.
Yeah, he literally said, like, well, I worked in the NASCAR game on GameCube back in the day, so we were wondering if it would work in real life.
And he gained 4 places and did what he needed to do.
Yeah, he got into the like next heat or the next round. By that, he had to make up places. So it was either he does this and it doesn't work and he's right where he's going to be anyways, or he tries it and it fucking does and it did, and he set a lap record.
That is awesome. And now they made
like 2 seconds.
They made a rule, right? Because of what he did.
No, that's the other thing I was going to talk about is Steve O'Donnell, executive vice president of NASCAR, said they are not going to make any rule changes at this time, and they are going to review it in the offseason to see if they need to.
Awesome. So that means by the end of the cup, everybody's just going to be wall riding around the track.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be an amazing... There's already been memes of other NASCAR teams like bolting little casters to the side of the car.
Yeah. Like, we got to cut down on those repair costs from the wall ride.
Right?
It's like the opposite of the gutter trick.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Oh, man. But I kind of assumed they were going to come up. I thought they were going to disqualify him. Like, I figured they'd be like, no. Like, we don't want to open this can of worms.
I kind of would. You know, I personally, like, when I saw that, I was like, this is not
This isn't racing.
I know rubbing is racing, but is it?
How much rubbing?
How much rubbing are we talking?
But you guys also understand NASCAR is still trying to bring people in. They're trying. They're doing all sorts of weird shit. And this got so much attention.
It's true.
That qualifies as weird shit.
They're like, look, you made us a lot of money, but you gotta stop.
Don't this again. But like, you can only do it once. You can only do it on the last lap, last corner.
Right.
Your suspension's gonna be fucked.
Your car's destroyed.
Yeah. It's true.
So yeah, I want to, and I'm sure there's only a certain amount of tracks that you can do that the wall's not just gonna catch you or you know, destroy your car completely.
I imagine we're going to see a lot of experimentation this season.
Right?
And see which tracks are best for wall rides.
Yeah, because it's like, it works. It's legal. You're there to win, so let's fucking do it.
Yeah.
I do love, like, the picture they have of Steve O'Donnell, though. Like, if you kind of zoom in here, it's just like... He just looks like, I don't know.
He looks so annoyed. He's just like, I can't believe I have to talk about this.
It's like all of our investors said, I have to say this is okay.
They're like, did you see the ratings? I mean, my entire Facebook feed after that race was blown up for like a week of that clip.
People who aren't even NASCAR fans at work were like, did you see this? And like showing me videos. It's insane.
Yep. Who would have known? The old Gran Turismo two strategy of just dive bombing works in real life when the cars are strong enough.
Well, let's hope that they don't start corner bombing each other.
That is the surprising part, is that the car was, like, it's not surprising because they're made to keep the driver alive, but like, man, like when you watch that video, you're just like, wow, he's like in that wall. Like,
he's just, you're watching the car get destroyed.
And the fact that he can maintain momentum and it not slow it down.
Right.
Like, how fast was he going when he, I mean, I'm sure they say it, but he must have been close to 200 miles an hour. And
imagine
then
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like what, yeah.
I didn't think about that. Imagine the G-forces of taking that. Because so, like, everybody else brakes for the turn.
Yeah, right. So the friction should have been, I don't know.
I'm not a NASCAR scientist.
I ain't no
It's funny because NASCAR, they'll try all sorts of shit. So does that mean somebody's going to be like spraying Pam cooking oil on the right side of their car?
They like hit it, just catches on fire. They're like,
it wasn't that one. It wasn't that.
That was not the solution.
Oh, man. I don't know. I just love that they came out and said they're not going to do anything about it. Just like, I couldn't believe that. It was funny seeing the differences between like the redneck NASCAR fans that are like, yeah, this was awesome, keep it up. And then like the F1 fans that were like, I would have given him like a 20 place grid penalty. Yeah. And like, this is outside of track limits. This is unsportsmanlike conduct. Like, NASCAR, we're talking NASCAR.
Right. Yeah,
people used to smoke in their cars when they were driving. Like, this is not your FIA high flutin' shit.
Yeah. Does the FIA even make rules for NASCAR?
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. No, NASCAR's its own entity.
It's like...
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
That is pretty fucking awesome.
So, here's to... Like, I don't know. The weird stuff NASCAR does, like when they did that, the small track, the short track race.
Oh, like at Bristol?
No, they did it in L.A. Coliseum.
Oh, right. Yeah, because they turned the football stadium into a track, like over the weekend.
Yeah, it was nuts. When they did that, when they made, they put a bunch of dirt on, I think that might have been Bristol.
Oh, yeah, they did a dirt track. Yeah,
turned a tarmac track into a dirt track.
Like, this is the stuff that's attracting me to, like, NASCAR. Or when Kimi Raikkonen was racing in NASCAR that one weekend, he was doing one of the road courses.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and
did
I was like...
Did he just do the one race?
Yeah, he just... Huh.
It was like an exhibition race?
Yeah, pretty much. There was a whole, the one team, whose name I can't remember now, unfortunately, their marketing didn't work very well. Their whole thing is they want to attract European drivers to the sport. So Kimi was kind of like their ambassador to that. Like, come over. This is actual competitive racing.
Of all of the people, then I would have been like, hey, we need like a really social outgoing guy to come out here and bring some European drivers.
Kimi, what did you think of the track? It was nice.
Yeah.
How's the car, Haley, Kimi? It's car. You know.
Hey, it was like just like a couple days ago was like the anniversary of him winning the race and being like, leave me alone. I know what I'm doing.
Like, seriously, that's like the dumbest.
But everybody loves Kimi Räikkönen.
Yeah, because, well, because of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they find him like taking naps under tables in his trailer before the race.
Or like, Kimi, your trailer has a bed. Yeah, but the table's so much better.
I just love the one year when he crashed out at what's the super rich road race?
Monaco.
Monaco. Yeah, when he crashed out at Monaco, instead of walking back to the pits, he walked to his yacht and just started drinking. Like, didn't even go to the pits. Like, he's like, just, fuck it.
Like, thank God I crashed next to the marina.
I'm here. Just takes his, yeah, that
can
was
you imagine
great.
Being like the
that.
People on his yacht, like, hey, Kimi, are you done for the day?
Am I done for the day?
The car's done, yeah.
Race car crashed, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Oh, man. All right. That is a podcast, everybody. I'm still sad Aaron wasn't here for that one. I feel like he had some shit he could have added. But
Hopefully he's okay.
Yeah, hopefully he's all right. And some weird health issues going on. Yeah. But, yeah. Wishing him the best, especially because I hate doing the AV part of this now.
Yes.
He's taking it over. I'm like, oh, thank you.
You spoiled us.
Exactly. But, hey, we made it through. We did it ourselves. We are still capable.
I didn't do anything. I forgot to turn the lights on.
You showed up.
Yeah. I forgot to turn the lights on.
I broke another bolt on my 240. That's about it.
Yeah, so now me and Huffman, we're going to hang out and try to get the trans pulled on this 240 tonight, I think.
Yeah.
I want to have nothing to do with that.
Yeah, you go inside and you just do whatever you do.
Maybe we can have it on track by Driftsgiving. That would be cool.
Maybe.
Don't get your hopes up there, Chip.
Let's see, if I can make next season, I'll be happy.
Listen, I'm already starting to drink beer, so we'll see how much actual work gets done. Before we wrap, of course, I do want to say, you know, thank you to all our listeners, and keep spreading the word, keep sharing the podcast. Apple Podcast people, leave reviews and rate us on Apple Podcasts. Super helps out. Spotify people, there is a rating on there as well. If you can rate us there, that would help out a lot. You can, of course, follow all of the things we're doing at religionofspeed.co on Instagram and Facebook. And we actually have a YouTube URL now. It's stupid, but it's youtube.com/@religionofspeed. I hate it, but it's...
We just dated ourselves.
Well, if it's /religionofspeed or religion or youtube.com/... Or whatever.
It's the slash and the at combo.
Yeah, it just doesn't roll off the tongue.
Yeah.
But like, subscribe, click the bell icon.
Yes, the bell icon, of course.
And then we can
we don't know why,
get
but
one
click
without
it.
The at symbol.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know why you have to do that. It's dumb. You already subscribed, but then you have to press the bell icon to say, I actually want to see things from these people that I subscribe to.
Yeah, we want you to get a little ding on your phone so it pesters you every time we post something.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully we'll be posting more and more stuff in the future here. Other than that, I think that's all the promo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're...
That's good.
I'm good. I'm getting better at
it. That's really good.
That was good. You covered all the bases, man.
So that just means I got to throw it over to you.
So we'd like to thank the band Wheels for the use of our theme song, Colors. You can hear that on the album Traveler Part 1, and you can find them at wheelstheband@bandcamp.com.
That's going to do it for us, Heretics. Thanks for listening. Until next time, Savage.